In order that we may bring you the special political program that is to follow, Saturday at the Shamrock has been canceled for tonight only. Be sure to be listening next Saturday night at this time for gay music and fun with Henry King's orchestra, soloist, and an exciting guest on Saturday at the Shamrock over most of these ABC stations.
You are about to hear an address by President Harry S. Truman speaking from St. Louis, Missouri. Time for this program has been purchased by the Democratic National Committee. For his only major political address of the 1950 campaign, the president appears tonight at a Democratic Party rally at Keel Municipal Auditorium at St. Louis. The president will be introduced by William M. Boyle, Jr., chairman of the Democratic National Committee. The president and Mr. Boyle are just now coming onto the stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this reception, but you know, this radio time, I'm told, is being paid for by the National Democratic Committee at so much a minute. And I want to get the full benefit of it. This reminds me of another meeting we had here in 1948. If I remember correctly, that was a Saturday night before election two. If I remember correctly, we had just such an enthusiastic audience as this right here. When we met here in 1948, the Democratic Party was on its way to victory. Tonight, the Democratic Party is on its way to victory again. Here in Missouri, we're going to elect Tom Hennings to the Senate. And we're going to send a Democratic delegation to the House of Representatives from Missouri. You know, I'd hoped to make some speeches in this campaign of 1950. I believe the President and the Vice President have a special duty to report to all the people. They are the only officials who are elected by the whole country. But this year, the critical international situation has made it impossible for me to go out and take part in this great debate that our Constitution provides for every 2 years. So I've had to leave my share of the campaigning to the other member of our team, Vice President Barclay. He's done a magnificent job. Alvin Barclay is a great American who has fought all his life for the welfare of the people. This is my only opportunity to speak to the American people in this campaign. I intend to tell you exactly what the issues are in this election. I'm going to tell you the truth. The truth has been crushed to earth in this awful mudslinging campaign. But truth crushed to earth will rise again, and the people aren't going to be fooled by this mudslinging outfit. The Congress we elect next Tuesday will have to make decisions that will determine the kind of world we and our children are going to live in for years to come. It is difficult for us to realize the responsibility of the government of the United States in the world today. In one generation, we have come from an isolated country which considered itself entirely safe with an ocean on each side to a position of world leadership. As the most powerful nation in the world, we have to assume world responsibilities. Responsibilities that go with that great power. Since I became president in 1945, I have worked constantly for world peace. World peace is my greatest ambition, and with God's help, I think we are making progress toward that goal. This nation has never done anything more important for peace than it did this summer when we took the leadership in the United Nations to put down aggression in Korea. Even though some hard fighting still lies ahead, our men have already won a tremendous military victory in Korea. But they've done a great deal more than that. They have brought about a moral and spiritual revival among all men who seek freedom and peace. By their sacrifices, they have brought new life and strength to the United Nations. I believe that this is the greatest step toward world peace that has been taken in my lifetime, and I'm 66 years old. I believe with all my heart that in this year of 1950, our nation, the greatest republic the sun has ever shone on, has taken the road the Lord meant us to take 30 years ago. In 1920, we took the wrong road, the road away from peace. That was when the isolationists kept us out of the League of Nations. But we are on the right road now, the road of cooperation between three nations. And we must stay on that road. I've tried my best to keep our national efforts for peace out of partisan politics. Some Republican leaders have joined with me in maintaining a bipartisan foreign policy. But other Republicans have tried to make foreign policy a partisan political issue. There are some isolationists running for office in this election, and one of them's right over here in Illinois. They have dragged our foreign policy into politics. They want us to shut ourselves off from the rest of the world and abandon our friends and our allies. All right, I'm doing it. Any sensible man knows that such a course would be an open invitation for communist imperialism to gobble up the rest of the world. Now, if that should happen, the United States would be left alone to face the threat of communist aggression. And the forces of communism would have the manpower and resources of all Europe, Asia, and Africa to use against us. That's the kind of disaster the isolationists would lead us into. A vote for isolationism in this election would be a vote for national suicide. This is the time to stand up and let the whole world know that we're going to stick to the other free nations in the struggle against communism. Isolationism is one of the main issues in this election. The other main issue is whether this country is going forward here at home toward greater strength and prosperity. Only if we are strong and prosperous at home can we do our part to bring about world peace. During the last 17 years, the Democratic Party has led this country to the greatest period of prosperity the world has ever seen. Republicans have fought us every step of the way. But we won those fights. And today the United States stands free and strong because we did win them. Take the case of the farmer. In 1932, the farmers of this country were just about flat on their backs. Corn was selling for 15 cents a bushel, and I sold some at that price. And cotton at 5 cents a pound. Farm mortgages were being foreclosed right and left. And farm families were being thrown off their land. The Republican Party either didn't know how to remedy this situation or it didn't care what happened to the farmer. The Democratic Party changed all that. We saved the farmer's land and the farmer's home. We brought back good prices for farm products. Through rural electrification, we brought electric power to the farms and eased the burden of the farm wives. Then came the 1946 election, when two-thirds of the people stayed at home and didn't vote. As a result, we got that Republican, no-good, do-nothing, 80th Congress, about which I told you in 1948. Republicans began to tear down what we'd done for the farmer. They cut the soil conservation program and tried to weaken the farmer committee system. They attacked the price support program. They cut down the authority of the Commodity Credit Corporation to store grain. In 1948, for this very reason, many farmers were forced to sell corn at 40 and 50 cents less than the support price. The people saw that the Republican Party hadn't changed a bit. It didn't care what happened to the farmer. So the people threw the Republican no-good 80th Congress out. I might say the people... I might say the people kicked that no-good, do-nothing 80th Congress out of office, and I helped them to do it. The Democratic 81st Congress repaired the damage the Republicans had done. We restored the power of the Commodity Credit Corporation to store grain. We started a rural telephone program. We strengthened the soil conservation program and the price support program. Today, farms and farm people are strong and prosperous, and because farmers are better off, well, the whole country's better off.